Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Sheffield Live turns 25 this year, and to celebrate, we're having a party at Hagler's Corner with Sheffield Live DJs, past and present, including Platinum Plates, Mid-Afternoon Memories, Latino Times, The Night Train, The Breakdown, 2 Foot Left, Spinning Jazz, and then also Dub Central, Junglist Alliance and Deep Groove. It's Friday 19th of September, down at Hagler's Corner, £6 on the door. Come and celebrate 25 years of Sheffield Live.
Thank goodness it's folk. Sheffield Live's weekly folk programme, broadcasting to the world. With Sam Hindley and James Fagan. Every Friday at 10 a.m. Welcome back to the second half of Thank Goodness It's Folk here on Sheffield Live. And as promised, here is an interview with fantastic duo Spafford Campbell. This music's extraordinary, and I hope you have your headphones on to hear the exquisite nature of this recording. If not, turn your speakers up, make a cup of tea, and enjoy this interview with Owen and Louis about their beautiful music and the process of recording it. And before we talk to them, let's hear one of the tracks from the new record. The record is called Tomorrow Held, and this is McGill. My guests today on the program are Owen Spafford and Louis Campbell. As I mentioned last week, I'm very excited to be talking to them, and they've joined me on Zoom. And we've just heard one of the tracks from the new record. The track was McGill. Good morning to you both. Good morning, Louis, and good morning, Owen.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Oh, you're very welcome. The album is beautiful. It's spacious. I won't say all the adjectives that come to mind. What I will tell you, because it's quite funny, is that I put it on this morning after a long drive home and fell asleep to its sonorous tones. And then the last track woke me up in kind of a cold sweat, and I loved it. I loved the dissonance of the last track, and it made me, I think it's a really good tactic, because it meant that I was then awake, ready to listen from the top again. So first of all, congratulations on the new release. Congratulations on your release on Real World. That's a very significant thing to occur. I'm sure you're both delighted with that. Maybe I'll start by asking Owen, who's speaking to us from Newry in Northern Ireland, how you came to be released on Real World.
Well, we did a gig in Bath, and a friend of ours called Will McCarthy brought a friend called Oren Mullen, who's a fiddle player, and he works for Real World as well. And I guess we just got talking to them, and it turned out we had a lot of things in common in their approaches to music and the way they work with the label and the music they're interested in. And over the course of a couple of years, first we released an EP with them, which is on their unsigned imprint called Real World X. And that was called 102 Meters East, and that's just three tracks recorded in the Wood Room at Real World Studios. And then a year later, now we're releasing a new album, full-length album with Real World on vinyl and CD.
I think it's fantastic for both of you, and I think that it's easy to forget in this day and age where everyone does their own releases quite a lot of the time, and it's possible to do it all yourself. It's actually quite nice, I'm sure, Louis, not to have to do it all yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say it's any less work than doing it yourself. It's just sort of in a different way. But no, it's a real treat to have, you know, like designers and just like people that really know what they're doing on your side and thinking and helping. And yeah, it's just nice to be part of a team. It makes it a bit less of a lonely process.
Yeah. For people who don't know your duo or haven't seen you live, Owen, can you tell us a brief history? I mean, they can read it, but it'd be nice to hear it from you, how you and Louis started making music together.
So I grew up in Leeds playing Irish music. And then we both met a thing called the National Youth Folk Ensemble. Louis had been playing guitar in Bath, playing John Martin covers, I believe. And then we got together and started playing English traditional music at the National Youth Folk Ensemble. And when Louis then moved up to study at RNCM in Manchester, we just, on the weekends, we'd play together, and a lot of the music was sort of, we were just improvising late at night based on tunes that we kind of were coming to grips with. And there was a kind of discovery in that felt really exciting. And I think it just clicked quite quickly that we were making music and listening to music in quite a similar way. And then over the years, we just developed that more and started gigging. But for a long time, we were just playing just to enjoy writing and to play together.
Owen, had you already been exploring kind of the freer or more improvisational aspects of traditional Irish music when you joined the folk ensemble and when you met Louis? Or has that come since?
I was a purist. I was a complete trad purist. Like, I only listened to my one bit of Irish traditional music. It's like South Sligo and North Leitrim fiddle tunes. And that was all I was interested in. I didn't even listen to songs. I wasn't interested in lyrics. And then I sort of slowly opened up. And I think Louis had a big part in introducing me to music that was, I had lyrics off of it and a lot of other interesting things. But as over the years now, I get more interested in experimenting with improvisation, live electronics and stuff like that.
And I read that the Gloaming obviously were a bit of an influence. Can you tell me the name of the player in the Gloaming that inspired you the most?
Yeah, Cuivian O'Reilly is the Hardanger de Mori player, which is like a sort of viola fiddle thing. And he was a big influence on me. But actually the Gloaming, at the point we started playing together, I hadn't really heard the Gloaming, and I thought they were a bit too modern for me. And then I got very obsessed with them. But I was more interested in Cuivian's trad playing with Mick O'Brien.
Yep. You're speaking of songs, they're still only a few songs in what you do. Louis, you are the vocalist as it stands at the moment. Where do you foresee that going, and how important is it to the sound of your duo with Owen?
Good question. I mean, we sort of came together playing instrumental music together, and I think a lot of what we want to say can come through instrumental music maybe a bit better, because it doesn't imply meaning in the same way that lyrics do. I think we've released three songs, and then like there's like little bits of singing on occasional parts. Like the penultimate track on this record has some both of us singing like just some la la las. I think we're both getting more interested in that side of things and working out how to incorporate that without losing what we like about the instrumental music.
I think that's interesting, and I think from my point of view, hearing you say, Owen, about lyrics, even though I am a singer, I must admit that the first, say, 20 years of playing the bouzouki and playing trad, I would appreciate songs for their sound, and I'd appreciate them for the tunes, and quite often it was a long time before I connected with the stories, if I ever did. And I think it's only more recently, really since working with Nancy and listening to her songwriting, that I've honed in more on lyrics. And I guess what I'm saying is I think it's a legitimate choice to use your voices in a more instrumental way and not be concerned so much with overt meaning. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, I mean, I'm not sure how Owen feels about this, but for me, like the types of singing I like are either like super direct, like Conor Oberst's writing or Loudon Wainwright or something like that. Or like, you can't really tell what they're saying, but like Anoni or even like Bjork or something, where it's like much more about the sort of instrumental side of it. I think there's like the two extremes are what I find most interesting, really.
Yep. Owen, how does improvisation work when it comes to presenting your music live on stage? Because you still have the constraints of, say, a 45-minute set at a festival or, and the expectations perhaps of an arts centre or a folk club format. How do you work out how you're going to put a set together knowing that you won't ever play it quite the same twice?
Well, a lot of our music is quite composed, really. I study composition, and I'm really interested in how crystalline you can make a form and structure, and how kind of defined it can be, but still have elements of that improvisation. But the improvisation might not be in the sense of like melodic jazz improvisation, where there might be a solo or something, but more kind of sound improvisation, if that makes sense. So each time we might approach a certain section, it's with a particular technique or mood or something that makes it feel and sound different, but actually the harmonic content might be the same, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Could you talk us through how, for example, well, let's have another listen to a piece of music. It's one that you've chosen from the new record. The record is called Tomorrow Held, and the track we're going to hear is called 26. I wonder if you could both just reflect a little bit on how a piece like this is put together.
So for this album, we were sort of, it's all based on improvisation, but in like a very structured way. So we created 100 ideas. We just sort of improvised to the point where we had like the like bare bones of an idea and recorded it and moved on. And then went on a residency where we picked our favorite 40 and just worked on them for exactly 45 minutes and then moved on. And then sort of came back in a few more iterations as these ideas slowly got formed, but with never enough time to like question if they were good or not, and making sure there was enough stuff for that not to be a problem.
Wow.
So yeah, this idea sort of came from, I suppose, initially the guitar sound, the frozen notes thing, and then writing that tune that Owen plays on top of it. And then we added there's a drum machine kick drum, just to sort of give it a little bit of a forward motion. And I think this is my favourite of Ben Nichols playing on the album as well. There's a really great double bass entry in the middle.
There sure is. Owen, have you got any reflections on 26 before we hear it?
No, I mean, I found it an interesting thing to record because the fiddle part is so bare, and a lot of what we're doing with the compositional process was actually to take away things until you're left with like what you could, the least possible thing you could imagine. And then when you only have three notes to play with as a fiddle player, I'm used to playing a whole tune with loads of fast notes in it. So suddenly I've got to go with very small materials. So that was an interesting process.
Let's have a listen to the track. So from the new album from Spafford Campbell, Tomorrow Held, this is 26.
Thank you.
So recording this album, you've just detailed some of the processes you went through to do that, and you've also explained that as compositions, there will be a certain amount of it that is set so you can put your sets together. How has it been working together live, and how is your show evolving as a live show, would you say?
Well, I think the main thing for us at the moment is, so historically when we played, it would just be acoustic guitar and fiddle, and we'd sit right next to each other with no monitors or anything and just, you know, have a very like natural conversation. So like we've been mostly concentrating on how to keep that core thing of what we loved about that while still adding the, you know, the electronic textures and stuff. So there's a lot more pedals and amps and things, but we're still like trying to make that work within an acoustic space, if that makes sense. So like the drum machines and stuff, we're hearing in the same way the audience are. And, you know, like even like the volume levels on stage, we're still trying to approach it like we would, you know, playing acoustically or even like, you know, chamber music or however you want to call it. So that's a big thing for us. And yeah, just sort of allowing it to move forward sonically without losing what we found important in the acoustic side of things.
So you could put that in a small room still, and you would put that in a small room. It doesn't have to be a large space or a big PA to make that work.
Yeah, we've got a few gigs on this tour with no PA where we'll just turn up and do it.
Fantastic.
Really nice.
Yeah, yeah. Have either of you got the tour dates in front of you? Because we don't just have Sheffield listeners. You are coming to Sheffield, but if one of you would like to take us through where you'll be bringing the music, we'd love to hear about it.
Sheffield is the first date, and that's the 12th of October. On the 13th of October in Leeds, 14th of October in Newcastle, 15th of October in Glasgow, 16th we're in Edinburgh, 17th we're in Manchester. The 19th is in Oxford, the 20th is in Stroud, the 21st is in Brighton, the 28th is Ashburton, and the 29th is in Bristol, and then the last tour date is the 30th of October in London at the Hackney Round Chapel.
That's a really good tour, and it's nice to be able to get your teeth into it and really settle in with the set as you go from gig to gig. We'll do our best to get to the Sheffield show, and our Sheffield, thank goodness it's folk listeners, I would really urge you to go and see Louis and Owen together, because I've seen them at a festival, but I haven't seen them since they've released this new album, and it is a beautiful experience to sit in the room and listen to this music evolving in front of you, I have to say. It's a really, really lovely record. Tell us about how you've released the record in terms of what formats people can get it, if they prefer physical or download, if they like CDs and LPs, if there's merch associated. Give us the full spiel on how people can get Tomorrow Held.
Nice. So yeah, it comes out on CD and vinyl, as you'd, you know, hopefully normally expect. But then for this tour only, we're trying a new thing of doing a collaboration with a coffee roasters called Colours Coffee in Wiltshire. We're getting 50 limited edition bags with high-res download codes on as well, which will only be, you can only buy that on the tour. But that's a thing for people that want to buy something but don't necessarily listen to physical music.
If that lasts longer than 2 gigs, I'll be amazed. That sounds like a great idea. Have you, either of you, been released on vinyl before? Or is this the first time you'll be on vinyl?
First I have on other people's music, but yeah, it's the first time for our own thing.
That's fantastic. What was it like hearing the test pressing on vinyl, Owen?
It was great. I mean, it's exciting to have something physical. It's so much you're working with, like, this sort of ephemeral kind of music in your head, and then you play it to people in live, and then it just disappears. And then suddenly you record it, and you have a big black disc that apparently contains like months and months of work. It's quite a strange process. But the process of choosing the image for the album is quite important for us. It's because it's such an intangible message to the album. There's no real lyrics properly, unless it's also one song. So we wanted to choose a visual that would really suit it. So we picked an image by Peter Mitchell of Quarry Hill Flats in Leeds. And I think it just really gives the right atmosphere and kind of meaning and subtext that we would like, without being too overt in its message.
It definitely does. It's a very clever album cover. Apart from anything else, it works at any size, which is really hard to achieve. When you know that you need to see it small, and you need to see it on an LP, it works really well with the geometry there. the artwork, is that something you, I mean, you've just described the process, but it is obviously something that you have to think about if you're going to present music like you're presenting, isn't it? The image is important for how people perceive it.
Yeah, I think there's people like when there's music that is doesn't have lyrics, people want that music to exist in a particular universe, and they like having a visual for that universe, I think, so they can then inhabit it in the way they want to. And I think that's quite important, is we're not really including people on our visuals for any of the music we've released. It's about creating a world for that music to be in.
Louis, it strikes me that the audience for this particular album and for the work that you're doing with Owen far transcends any one particular sort of scene. You could play any folk festival that I know, but you could likewise appear at a jazz festival, you could appear at a popular music festival. What's your feeling about where and how you want to present your music in the future?
Yeah, I mean, we really like the fact that it works in lots of environments. And I think that's, you know, with our music, all we're trying to do is, you know, make something that feels honest to the music we like and listen to and our backgrounds within that. I think we've got a particular interest at the moment in trying to play for just like very varied audiences. So anything that allows for that, maybe more festivals that also have, you know, literature or jazz or comedy or whatever, you know, it's just nice to share something outside of the folk world that we've sort of grown up in, as well as, you know, staying within that.
Yep. Owen, any particular people you'd like to thank for their contribution to this record before we hear another track from it?
I think we were very lucky to work with Sean Rogan, the producer, Alex Lyon on bass, Barnett and Ben Hills on the bass. It was just a really nice team. It was just so nice to be in the middle of nowhere in Wales and have a couple of weeks to just dedicate to recording the music that we'd composed and to making the most out of the timbre and the sound of it and the way it's recorded, as well as the actual musical concert.
Fantastic. Well, you've achieved something really beautiful, and I hope a lot of people get behind it and do buy physical copies. It's all very well to stream an album, but it's much more something to last you if you engage with an album in its full length in the way that people wrote it and recorded it. And I think this is a classic example of an album that bears careful and repeated listening. So well done to both of you, and look forward to seeing it out there again live as soon as possible. Good luck with it, with the tour.
Thanks a lot.
Perhaps one of you could tell us about the last track then, which is All Your Tiny Bones.
So this is the only song on the album. And it kind of came out of an improvisation with a great iPhone app called Funkbox, which is a collection of various drum machines, which didn't end up on the album. The drum machine on the album is based off an old 70s Yamaha church mixer that Sean has. It was an improvised fiddle tune with that, and it developed into more of a song, and it's kind of about working out tradition for yourself and whether or not that, you know, the authenticity within that.
Well, it's wonderful, and thanks for coming on the program. Thanks for your time, and we'll see you on the road somewhere.
See you soon.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Owen Spafford and Louis Campbell. And here is From Tomorrow Held, the new album. This is All Your Tiny Bones. Thank you. Katie Spencer from her new album, What Love Is, with the title track, What Love Is. Do make sure you catch her on tour. I played another track from the new record in the first half. It's just wonderful, isn't it? Absolutely fantastic. Well, it's time for this week's Child Ballad as we continue to work our way through the great Francis James Child's collection of 305 Scots and English ballads. And we're up to 188.
Friday's Child.
Friday's Child, that's me.
A child ballad every Friday.
This week's child ballad is number 188. It is called Archie of Caulfield in Scotland, but there's an English version called The Bold Archer, and it's also known as The Brothers, The Bold Prisoner, or The Escape of Old John Webb. It is yet another ballad about derring do. There's an American variant called Bold Dickie. And most of the English singers who sing this song learnt it from the great Harry Cox. So we're going to hear a little bit of Harry Cox singing his very important version, from whom so many learnt it, including John Kirkpatrick, who then recorded it with the great Brass Monkey and followed it with Dearest Dickie, the great Morris tune. So we're going to hear a little bit of Harry Cox singing Child Ballad 188, The Bold Archer. Then we're going to hear Brass Monkey's version in full because, well, it's magnificent.
It was all in the month of June, just as the floors were in full bloom, a castle was built upon Kensington Green, all of the put bold archer in. So now our brother in prison do lie, condemned to die is he. If I had 11 such brothers as me, so soon a poor prisoner I'd set free.
It was all in the month of June, just as the flowers were in full bloom. A castle was built upon the green, all for the put bold archer in. From tree to tree, on silent wings I swoop and glide. That's how to set bold archer free. Now our brother in prison do lie, and this very day condemned to die. If I had 11 such brothers as we, so soon the poor prisoner I'd set free. Oh, 11, said Dickie, is little enough. Oh, little that never can be. Full 40 fine fellows our party must be before bold archer we can set free. 10 to stand by our horses' heads, 10 for to guard us round about, 10 for to stand by the castle door, and 10 for to bring bold archer out. Dickie broke locks and Dickie broke bars, Dickie broke everything he could see, and Dickie broke in where bold archer lay, his 40 good men to set you free. He said, oh no, dear brother, that never can be. I've 50 great pounds of good Spanish iron between my ankle and my knee. Oh, 50 great pounds is little enough, said Dickie, oh little that never can be. And he's taken bold archer under his arm and carried him out most manfully. Mounted their horses, away they did ride. Bold archer, he mounted so merry and free. They rode till they came to the far river side, the rumbling roar as full as the sea. later he said, my love to my wife and my children three. My horsey is lame and I cannot swim or condemn. This day I shall surely be. Oh, mount my mare, bold Dickie, he said, mount my mare and set behind me. She's beaten the devil this many long years, she'll beat him again to set you free. So they have taken the water so wide, the rumbling roar as full as the sea. And 50 great pounds of good Spanish iron, that mare she bore is no more than a flea. Sheriff, the water beside, with 100 men in his company. Come back, come back, the sheriff he cried, oh come and return what's mine to me. Swim back on your mare with my good Spanish iron, a bold archer, a prisoner still must be. Oh nay, no nay, that never can be, you're greatly mistaken, high sheriff, said he. The iron will do our horses to shoe, for the smith he do ride in our company. That iron cost dear, the sheriff, he said, you're the damnedest young rascal I ever did see. Why, thank you for nothing, bold archer, he cried, you're the damnedest old fool for following me. So sweet and joyfully, and the very best dancer amongst them all was bold archer who they set free. Thank you.
I first came to this country in 1849, I saw many fair lovers, but I never saw mine. I view it all around me, I found myself alone. And me, a poor stranger, and a long ways from home. My love, she won't love me. Yes, I do understand. She wants a freeholder, and I've got no land but plenty to maintain her on silver and gold, and as many other fine things as my love's house can hold. Fare thee well to my mother, and adieu to my old father too. I'm a-going to ramble this whole world all through, and when I get tired, I'll sit down and weep and think on my darling, pretty Sarah, my sweet. Some valley down in some lone place where the small birds do whistle their notes to increase. But when I get sorrow, I'll sit down and cry and think of my darling, my darling, so now. I wish I were a poet and could write some fine hand. I would write my love a letter that she might understand. I would send it by the water, island overflow, and I think of my darling wherever I go. I wish I were a dove and had wings and could fly this night to my love's window. I would draw nigh, and in her little white arms all night I would lay and watch their little windows to the dawning of day.
Just a stunning, stunning track, isn't it? That is the wonderful gospel singer Odessa Settles, who was invited by Martin Simpson and Tom Jutz to contribute to their album, which was called Nothing But Green Willow, which were the songs of Mary Sands and Jane Gentry, the American source singers, collected and recorded by Martin and Tom with guest vocalists, and that is one of the best you'll hear. I've been James Fagan. I still am James Fagan, and I will be next week with Sam Hindley back from Canada. Thank you so much for joining me on today's program, and thank you to my guests Owen Spafford and Louis Campbell, also to everybody who's been sending in wonderful new releases to the program. Keep me informed of what you're doing, keep Sam informed of what you're doing, and also people, buy tickets for events if you want to buy them ahead of time, including the last band you'll hear today, A Fluke Again, who are in Sheffield in November, celebrating their 30th anniversary. Magnificent band. They'll be appearing, as I said, on Wednesday the 19th of October at the Octagon Centre as part of their 30th anniversary tour. Speaking of tickets, you must also, if you're in Sheffield, come and see The Ha on October the 19th at the Greystones, live at Sam's, and we'll be talking to The Ha on next week's programme. Always interested to hear what you thought of the program. You can give me feedback, and Sam, when he's back next week, on our Facebook page. It is Thank Goodness It's Folk. And while you're there, you can see what everyone else is doing, what gigs they're putting on, and you can put on gigs that you're promoting yourself or the gigs that you think we might be interested in coming to. All of that and more on the Thank Goodness It's Folk Facebook page. Thank you to Sheffield Live, as ever, for being a brilliant voluntary community radio station in Sheffield and for supporting our work here on Thank Goodness It's Folk. Look after one another. And I'll leave you with Fluke from their album Rubai. This is GD's. See you next week.